Declan, and thank you, Robert, for playing. Tonight's message is called Simple Truths from Sacred Hymns. So you might want to keep your hymn book in your hand and just keep your Bible there, because we'll be referring to that just a little bit later in the message. When it comes to Christian things, we need to major on the simple. And when I wrote this message, a couple of hymns were going around in my mind, and it's a rare occasion that I speak on a hymn, but this evening I would like to use three of them as a part of the message. So the three hymns that I'm going to basically use are Tell Me the Old, Old Story, which is hymn 229, which we'll be closing with. I Love to Tell the Story, hymn 431, which we just sang. And one verse from Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. So that's not in our hymn book, so we can't look at that one anyway. So I'm just going to go through some of those hymns. And we're going to look, first of all, at the last one that I mentioned, and that is, when I clear the page, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear, things I would ask him to tell me if he were here, scenes by the waysides, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me. Tell me the story of Jesus I love to hear is the first few words of that song. And I need to ask all of us, myself and all of you here, do we love to hear the stories of Jesus? Do we come to church Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday nights just to hear the stories of Jesus? Or have they become, I've just got three expressions, old hat. I don't know where that came from, but it's there. Old hat. In other words, they just keep repeating themselves. Oh, the preacher's going to preach on that. Oh, we had that last month. We had that last year. Are they a bit boring? Okay, give us 30 minutes and he'll be at the finish and we can go home and then we can do something more exciting. Are the stories of Jesus a bit boring? Or do we consider them children's stuff? Oh, it's really good for the children to hear the stories of Jesus. But, you know, I'm sort of grown out of that now. What's our attitude towards hearing the stories of Jesus over and over again? One of the blessings of being in Sunday school and attending One Way Club is that you get to sing many of the children's choruses. And you hear Bible stories being told by people. Now, I don't hear as many at One Way Club as I used to, but that's fair enough. That's the way life goes. But Sunday school, we hear and we sing. And songs like, or children's songs like, O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E, obedience is the very best way to show that I believe. Wide, wide as the ocean. Deep and wide. Peter and John went to pray. Jesus loves me, this I know. Very simple hymns or choruses, but with really profound meaning. I've got a Did You Know? Did You Know Jesus Loves Me, which is hymn number 479, and you might like to turn to that hymn, 479. I'm not sure how many of you know the history of this hymn, and who wrote it and why it was written. But hymn 479, Jesus Loves Me, I got this off Wikipedia, so, you know, make your own judgment. It says, Jesus Loves Me is a Christian hymn set to words by Anna Bartlett Warner. The lyrics first appeared as a poem in the context of a novel called Say and Seal, written by Susan Warner and published in 1860. Seems a long time ago, but it wasn't that long ago, in which the words were spoken as a comforting poem to a dying child. The tune was added in 1862 by William Batchelder. I have never heard that name before. Bradbury, who found the text of Jesus Loves Me in that book. Along with his tune, Bradbury added his own chorus, Yes, Jesus Loves Me, Yes, Jesus Loves Me. After publication, the song became one of the most popular Christian hymns in churches around the world. It's interesting to note that the original words were, verse 1, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. And the second stanza says, Jesus loves me still, though I'm very weak and ill. From his shining throne on high, comes to watch me where I lie. And then the third stanza is, Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. Then his little child will take up to heaven for his dear sake. So the words have changed in our hymn books, probably to generalise it more for people. But when William Bradbury published it, he published it with four verses. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. And then, of course, the refrain. And then it was, Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let each little child come in. And then the third stanza, Jesus loves me still, though I'm very weak and ill. From his shining throne on high, comes to watch me where I lie. And then the last one, Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. Then his little child will take up to heaven for his dear sake. So, you know, just a beautiful hymn, but it was specifically written for a book. And now we've got the words changed to make it a more of a general hymn. It's also interesting to note, and I got this from the same source, that in 1943, in the Solomon Islands campaign, the Second World War, John F. Kennedy, who we know was former president, in PT-109 was rammed and sunk. His PT boat was rammed and sunk. And islanders, now I have no idea how to pronounce these names, but I'll go with Bayuku Gasa and Enruni Kamana, who found Kennedy and the survivors. They remember that when they rowed on the PT boats to retrieve the survivors, the Marines sang this song with the natives who had learned it from a Seventh-day Adventist missionary. So Jesus Loves Me has a big history. At least 14 people have recorded that song. In 1972, Ray Stevens recorded it. In 1997, Brenda Lee. In 2000, Rosemary Clooney. It's interesting to note that in 2012, Whitney Houston, whom you probably are aware of, and someone called Kelly Price, did a last-minute impromptu duet at a nightclub, and that was the night before she died. So this hymn has had quite a profound effect on people. St. Augustine said, "The Bible is shallow enough for a child not to drown, yet deep enough for an elephant to swim." I don't know that we quite put it that way, but I thought that was rather a good expression. The Bible is shallow enough for a child not to drown, yet deep enough for an elephant to swim. The next part of that stanza was, "Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here." Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. I thought about this when I was writing the message, and I thought to myself, if Jesus was here today, what questions would I ask him? What would be the top question that I would have for him? Would I come up, why? You know, why? Would it be when? Would it be what if? And you know, I couldn't think of a question that I could ask the Lord Jesus that the answer isn't already recorded in the scriptures. You think about it. What question could you ask the Lord Jesus tonight that the answer isn't already given in the scriptures? That song goes on to say, "Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea." Can anyone give me an example of a scene by the wayside that the Lord Jesus was involved with? I'm waiting now. Yes, sorry. Blind Bartimaeus, he's the first one on my list. That's good. Sorry, someone over here. Parable of the Sower. I don't have that one on my list, but that's no problem. What else? Scenes by the wayside. Stephen's been over there and so has Lynn. What do you remember when you were walking? Did some of the guides say, "Oh, this is where this happened"? You don't have to answer. I've just threw that in. Yes. Yes, I've got the feeding of the 4,000 / 5,000. Yes. What are some more? Make you think. Yes. Yes, the blind man. I won't push this too far. Anyone else? Yes. Sorry, go on. Yes. Yes. All right. So there's a whole lot of these stories of Jesus that are scenes by the wayside. And I'm sure that you would agree when you go there to the what we call the Holy Land, that people would be pointing these things out to you. Someone said that this is the actual path that Jesus walked on, but I think after 2,000 years, it's probably changed. But it's an interesting thought. All right. What about... I've got one more question for you before we get to that. What made each of these miracles possible? What made each of these miracles possible? What did Jesus say to these people? Getting tough now, isn't it? Yes. Your faith has made you whole. Yes. Your faith has cured you. Each of these people were saved by their faith. Scenes by the wayside. Tales of the sea. What are some tales of the sea? Yes? Yes, that's a good one. I didn't have that one on my list. Yes? Stilling the waters? Yes. I didn't have that one on my list. Yes, John? And he cooked the fish on the side for them and told them to bring some more to add to it. Yes. What about Paul being shipwrecked? Is that a hand, Annabella? Yes, what's your answer? Jonah. Jonah's on my list. The big catch of fish. Noah and his ark. Lots of tales of the sea. Do we really enjoy hearing about them? In the other hymn that we're looking at is Tell Me the Old Story of Unseen Things Above, of Jesus and His Glory, of Jesus and His Love. Tell me the story simply, that as to a little child. What a simple truth that is. Tell me the story simply as to a little child. Now, children believe what we say because they trust us. So if you're a Sunday school teacher and you tell your children something, they believe you because they trust you. We told both of our children, say what we say and do what you see us do. If we don't say something, then you shouldn't. Now, I was sharing that example in the lunchroom at work, and there's about 15 ladies there, and most of them looked at me aghast and said, oh, I couldn't tell my children that. What they were saying is what they say and the way they behave wasn't the way they would like their children to, what they would like them to say or what they, how they'd like them to behave. So we need childlike faith to trust that what Jesus said in his word is true. It goes on to say, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the story slowly that I may take it in. What a simple truth. Tell me the story slowly that I may take it in. Don't rush when sharing about God's word. Let people take it in. That wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me the story often. Why? For I forget so soon. What a simple truth. We should tell the story often. I've read the Bible. Why would I want to read it again? Now, I don't know that everyone in the congregation can say that they've read the Bible from cover to cover, right through at least once. But why would you want to do it again once you've read it? You know, we forget. So soon we need to be reminded. And this is one of the blessings of having a daily Bible reading. You get to read it over and over and over again. And the Spirit of God can use it. The early dew of morning has passed away at noon. Then it goes on to say, tell me the story softly, with earnest tones and grave. Remember, I'm the sinner whom Jesus came to save. Another very simple truth. I like this line because it identifies me and it identifies you as the sinner whom Jesus came to save. If I or you were the only ones that would be saved, would Jesus still have come? Would Jesus have come just to save me? Would Jesus have come just to save you? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Just for one. Well, the answer is yes. Yes, he would have come just for one. Remember, I'm the sinner whom Jesus came to save. Tell me the story always. If you would really be in any time of trouble, a comforter to me. What story would comfort you in times of trouble? When you're going through a tough patch, or you've just received some bad news, What story do you want to hear then? Do you want to hear the stories of Jesus? Do you want to see what the Bible has to say? And then it goes on to say, tell me the same old story when you have cause to fear. You know, repetition is one of the keys to remembering. Repetition keeps us alert to the presence of God. And we need to hear the same old stories over and over again because it helps us to remember. That this world's empty glory is costing me too dear, yes, and when that world's glory is dawning on my soul, tell me the old, old story. Christ Jesus makes me whole. What a blessing that the Lord Jesus Christ makes us complete or whole or entire. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. And if we turn to the other hymn, it says, I love to tell the story. I won't go into as much detail with this one, but it says, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. Isn't that amazing? The stories of Jesus are true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. Another simple truth from this hymn. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all the golden dreams. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me. And people sharing testimonies about what God, or a verse of scripture, or something else has done for them. It did so much for me. And that is just the reason I tell it now to thee, sharing a simple testimony. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. Where's the message of salvation written? It's written in God's holy word. I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. So hymns can calm our souls, can give us good feelings. We've heard the musicians playing this morning and this evening, and it's just so lovely to hear them and to sing through the words. But it's God's word that saves and keeps us. So hymns are great and they can share a lot of truths with us, but it's God's word that keeps and saves us. If you'd like to turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4 with me. Philippians chapter 4, and we're just going to look at verses 4 to 8 in the context of simple truths. This time it's from the scriptures. Philippians 4, 4 to 8. First word is rejoice. The writer Paul is telling the Philippians they need to rejoice. That's a simple truth, isn't it? Just rejoice. But rejoice in the Lord. So when we're rejoicing, we need to be rejoicing in the Lord. And how often? The next word says, always. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. And I thought, what does moderation mean? So I looked it up, and it says the avoidance of excess or extremes, especially in one's behaviour or political opinions. And then some of the synonyms given were self-restraint, restraint, self-control, self-discipline. And I think some of that comes from Pastor Alan's message this morning. Let your moderation, let your self-restraint, your self-control, your self-discipline be what? Known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Then verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious about nothing. That's a really good phrase to share with someone who is going through a difficult time. Be careful for nothing. But when you're going through a difficult time, when you're going through a time of anxiety, what should you be caring for? The Lord Jesus Christ has died. He saved us from our sins. He's given us an assurance of salvation. He's preparing a place for us. So really, we should be anxious about nothing. And then it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Just taking the time to thank the Lord for the difficult times as well as the easy times. In fact, most of us ignore the easy times because it's only when a difficulty comes along or some anxiety comes along that we even consider going to the Lord. Never mind saying to the Lord, thank you for good things. Thank you for nothing happening, neither good nor bad. Thank you for life. Thank you that my heart is still beating. Somebody once said they look up the death notices in the paper every day, and when they don't find their name there, they're happy. Yes, that's probably pushing it a bit far. It says, and the peace of God. What's the peace of God? It's obviously the opposite of being anxious. But the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. I don't know why everybody doesn't want to be saved. But I do know that the unsaved have no idea of that peace of God which passeth all understanding. We can't understand it. We can't put a formula on it. But you know when it's happening to you. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Not through money, not through possessions, not through entertainment, but through Christ Jesus. And then verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are true. If you watch any of the nature shows on television, somewhere along the line, you'll hear so many millions or billions of years. But we know the truth. We know that God created the world in 6 days and rested the seventh. It's good to know the truth. It's good to know that all of these things that the world tries to find a reason to answer us when they can't, they're just not true. The Bible teaches what is true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue. I looked up the word virtue. I thought, oh, what does that actually mean? It says behavior showing high moral standards. And then it goes on to talk about virtuousness, talks about upstandingness, honorableness, incorruptibility. And then the synonyms that were given were meritorious, irreproachableness, blamelessness, purity, pureness, merit. All of these words trying to describe virtue. If there's something good in it, what does the Bible say? If there be any praise, think on these things, these simple truths. So, as a form of conclusion, many hymn writers, or many hymns that are written by saved, Bible-believing Christians and are set to good quality music, can be a source of inspiration to us. As we sing, as we listen, the words can be challenging, the words can be a blessing. The music can be a blessing. But we must always remember that hymns are not God's word. You can't sing a hymn every morning and expect God to bless you. But you could read your Bible every day and at some point of time expect God to bless you. God's word is inspired, it's inerrant, it's accurate, it's unquestionable, and of course it's true. I'd just like to conclude by just reading through those verses with you now. Or not with you, but I'll read the verses. So Philippians 4:4-8. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Simple truths. I'm just going to close this part of our service with a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing the hymn. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the scriptures are there to teach us the truth. They're there for us to rejoice in, to learn from, to be blessed by. But also, we have hymns that can be a comfort to our heart, can take a Bible thought and expand on it, put it to a lovely tune, can be a blessing to our hearts as we listen. We just trust, Father God, that we'll always put the Word of God first and put Him second. But we also trust that just as we grow and as we mature, we will find that the Bible is shallow enough for a child not to drown, and yet deep enough for an elephant to swim. We commit our service to you now and seek a blessing in Jesus' precious name. Amen.